believers are to steer clear of the godlessness that does and will characterize the last days.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Are we living in the last days? I can give you a definite, absolute answer to that question. And that answer is yes. Yes, we are. Yes, we are living in the last days. And you know how I can be so sure of that we're living in the last days? Even though so many have made fools of themselves trying to say specific things about specific individuals and predicting dates and so forth. The reason I can say we are definitely living in the last days is because the Bible says we are living in the last days. See, because in the Scriptures, the last days doesn't just refer to those immediate days right before the return of Christ. The last days, we have been living in the last days ever since Christ ascended into heaven following His resurrection, ever since His ascension until He comes back, we are in the last days. That's how the Bible defines the last days. So yes, I can tell you for sure, we are living in the last days. And we have been for quite some time now. So we're not to set dates and try to get too particular about prophetic elements. But we are to be aware and alert, knowing that these are, in fact, the last days. And Christ could return at any time, couldn't He? So yes, we are living in the last days. And what we want to look at today in the Scripture here, then, is this. Is godlessness. Godlessness in the last days. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, we will see there that believers are to steer clear of the godlessness that does and will characterize the last days. Followers of Jesus, then, must steer clear of the godlessness of the last days. Now, before we look at our text in 2 Timothy chapter 3, a little context here first. You'll recall that in this letter, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is speaking to his young son in the faith, Timothy, who was a pastor in the church of Ephesus. And he is encouraging Timothy to stand firm, to endure through persecution and false teaching. So, Timothy, you are to be like a soldier who is single-minded and focused on your task, like an athlete who follows the rules, and like a farmer who works hard, waiting patiently for the harvest. But Timothy, remember Christ. Remember the example of Christ who endured much suffering from evil men in order that He might bring salvation. You, Timothy, must be an approved worker. A worker who has God's approval and blessing because you're holding firm to right doctrine and right living, right practice. So Timothy, cleanse yourself from those things that are ungodly, from false doctrine, from wrong living. In fact, avoid such things. Avoid such people. You see, for the last days will be characterized by godlessness, various forms of godlessness. So let's look at what Paul says to Timothy here in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9. It says, "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." Other than those things, pretty good people, though, other than, right? But it says what? Avoid such people. Avoid such people. "For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. So the text is telling us here that in the last days, there will come times of difficulty. Remember, he said, when are the last days? Is it that time right before Jesus comes? Well, yes, it is that. But biblically, the last days are right now, and we've been in the last days since Jesus ascended into heaven. Scripture tells us this in the book of Acts, 1 Timothy as well. These are the last days. And these last days will be characterized by godlessness. Now, people have been ungodly since the fall, haven't they? But in the last days, we're going to see this more and more. And in fact, I believe until shortly before Christ comes again, it's only going to increase. We're only going to see an increase of these kinds of things. And so, in these last days, then, there will come times of difficulty. I think many of you already know this, but if you don't, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It is not easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ, is it? It's not an easy life all the time, isn't it? So do not expect an easy life as a follower of Jesus. Now, frankly, here in this country, for a long time, we've had it pretty easy, haven't we, as followers of Jesus? It's getting harder now in this culture. But I think that can actually be a good thing for the church, can it? I think it can be a good thing for a church when it's harder for us to follow Jesus Christ as we become more aware of our dependency daily on Him. But it says there will come times of difficulty. And there are many of our brothers and sisters around the world who know this very well about the times of difficulty, of opposition and persecution. So we can't expect an easy life as a follower of Jesus. And so there will come times of difficulty. And these last days then will be characterized by godlessness. That is, opposition to God and the message of Christ. Godlessness is seen in opposition to God, to God's truth, but also to the righteousness of God and to the message of Christ, the message of the gospel. So in the last days, there will come difficulty. And in the last days, then, people will be lovers of self. And then we see a list there of 19 qualities or characteristics. Now, I'm going to turn on the fire hose a little bit here for you right now, and then a little bit later on here. But don't try to take all of this in all at once. But what are we seeing? Paul is giving us a powerful portrait here of the kinds of attitudes and behaviors of sinful people in opposition to God and God's righteousness and God's truth. This is what godlessness looks like. And I don't think it's coincidental that he starts this list off by saying, people will be lovers of self. Because in a way, that's kind of the beginning or the fruit of many sins, isn't it? Is the love of self more than God, first of all, but then also more than others. We love ourselves first. We put ourselves first, and from that come many godless attitudes and behaviors. What did Jesus say, or what is when Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment of all? He answered and said, what? It is to do what? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, when we get those right, loving God with all of our being, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and as followers of Jesus, loving one another as Jesus has loved us, when we get those things right, and that's not easy to do, is it? But when we get those things right, everything else kind of falls into place, doesn't it? And so I don't think it's an accident here that as he is describing godlessness, that is opposition to God and his righteousness and his commandments, that he starts with lovers of self. That's where it begins, putting ourselves, loving ourselves more than God, more than others. Lovers of self. Lovers of money. Is money evil? Well, it says right there in the Bible that money is the root of all evil, right? No, it doesn't say that. That's probably one of the most misquoted verses in Scripture, right? The Bible doesn't say that money is evil. It says what? That the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Not even the love of money is the root of all evil. Sometimes people misquote it a second time, right? They'll say, oh, no, it's the love of money that's the root of all. No, it is the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. In other words, when we love money, when we worship money, it can lead to all kinds of evil in our lives then, right? So it's not money that is evil, but it is a love of money, putting our desire for gain, putting that ahead of others and important needs, and worshiping that rather than loving God. So lovers of self, lovers of money, but also that they are proud or boastful and arrogant. They're proud. They express their arrogance by being boastful, saying, look at me, look at me, look at how great I am. Proud, arrogant, and abusive. Right? That they use people, take advantage of people, they hurt people, are abusive. That they are disobedient to parents. Now, some of our younger listeners here, you're not off the hook from this, are you here? You're included here. Disobedient to parents. Now, when we're younger, we have a responsibility to be obedient to our parents. And when we're not, that's an expression of godlessness. But as we get a little bit older, that changes. Our relationship with our parents changes as we get older, right? But Scripture says, though, even though there is that responsibility as younger children to obey our parents, even as we get older, roles change, things change, but we are always, though, to do what? To honor them, to honor our parents. And so when we're not doing that, that's an expression of godlessness. We are ungrateful. Godless people can be ungrateful. We have a holiday coming up before too much longer, don't we? Called what? Thanksgiving. That's the day we give thanks. Well, we ought to be giving thanks every day, shouldn't we? And you know what? What I'm grateful for is how many grateful people we have in this church, that I regularly hear expressions of gratitude and thanksgiving to God. But godlessness, though, is ungrateful. There's no giving of thanks to God. It's unholy. Godlessness is unholy. It's indulging in sin rather than being separated from sin. To be holy is to be separated from sin. They are heartless. That is what? They're not thinking of others, preoccupied with themselves, having little regard for others, thinking of others. They are unappeasable. That is meaning what? They cannot be appeased. This is a spirit and an attitude of unforgiveness, refusing to forgive, and being quick to engage in conflict with others. Godless people are slanderous. What do we do when we slander someone? What do? We speak evil of that person, right? We spread gossip or say slanderous, terrible things about others then. Slanderous. They are without self-control. There's no discipline in their lives. They can be brutal rather than being kind and gentle. They're brutal with others. They do not love the good. They are treacherous. Boy, that word treacherous is just an interesting word, isn't it? You see that word treacherous there. I'm just picturing like deceit and evil scheming and planning, treachery. Right? It can be treacherous. They can be reckless. They can be swollen with conceit. Again, there's that what? That pride or that arrogance that just they're swollen up with it, filled with it. They can be lovers of pleasure rather than God. They make their life about trying to. Now, I believe that God wants us to enjoy life, doesn't he? In fact, he has created us to experience joy and enjoyment, but that comes through a right relationship with him. Through that comes true joy, contentment, and fulfillment. But when people have displaced God out of their lives and are worshiping self, worshiping other things, we can become in pursuit of pleasure, always looking for some kind of pleasure rather than God. And then also then godlessness is here he's speaking of these false teachers then who had crept into the church, that some of them, that they have the appearance of godliness, but they deny its power. In other words, what this is sometimes folks can have an appearance of godliness. That is that they seem religious, but they deny God's power with them. So in other words, there's no response. There's no change or transformation in their life. They give an appearance of godliness, of religiosity, but there's no power in them. There's no power of real change in them. They deny the power of transformation. And so, Timothy, for such persons as this, avoid such people. Now, can we completely avoid ungodly people in our lives? No, we can't. For some of us, we're living with them. And don't look at the person next to you right now, okay? No, we can't completely avoid. First of all, as followers of Jesus, all of us, can any of us relate to some of these characteristics or attitudes that we know that God, the Holy Spirit, has to put his finger on in our lives sometimes, doesn't he? He does in mine, right? But so when Paul says, avoid such people, we can't completely avoid all this. In fact, we're called to engage, aren't we? We're called to be salt and light in the darkness of this world. So what does he mean? So what's he telling Timothy? Well, I think what he's telling him is that, you know, that Timothy, as a pastor, a leader in this church here, you need to watch out for this. Avoid, do not allow yourself to be contaminated by that. You know, be cleansed from that, from this fault, whether it's false doctrine or false living, false attitudes, ungodliness. Cleanse yourself from that. Avoid that so that you're not contaminated by that. And in the case of church leadership, there may even come a point where, after proper warning and exhortation, to remove such persons from the church, that may need to be the case. But here, though, Timothy, avoid such people. Don't be contaminated by the godlessness of the last days, and in particular, as you see it in these false teachers, avoid such people. So in the last days, then, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self. And in fact, false teachers will creep in and they'll take advantage of people. They'll creep into households. There's another interesting picture. You see that creeping and picking, someone like kind of coming in like this, creeping in like that. These false teachers are going to creep into the church. Do you think false teachers, false teaching is creeping into the church today? I wish I could tell you that the answer is no, but I can't, because the answer is yes. It was happening then, and it's still happening today. So here is these false teachers creeping in among them with twisted doctrine, twisted teachings that are at odds with the gospel and with the Word of God. And some of these false teachers, they were taking advantage of a particularly vulnerable group of people. Seems there were some, Paul says, these weak women burdened with sins and led astray by various passions. That is, among them there were some, in particular, these women who were burdened with sins. That is, they were feeling guilty about their sin. And so these false teachers come in and take advantage of that, take advantage of them because of their feelings of guilt, to twist it and manipulate it and to teach them false things about how to be, how they can assuage their guilt or deal with their guilt. It's not the gospel. The gospel is the answer to our guilt, isn't it? The true answer. But they had a false answer. And so they were taking advantage of them. And I think quite possibly these false teachers then, they were taking advantage of these women financially and perhaps even sexually, because they were easy prey for them, easy marks. And it says they're always learning, but never arriving at a knowledge of the truth. They're always searching, looking for answers, always learning. Teach me more religion, teach me more thought, but never arriving at a knowledge of the truth, never arriving at understanding the gospel truth, believing the gospel message. So in the last days, then, there will come times of difficulty. People will be lovers of self. False teachers will take advantage of people. But Timothy, take heart, though, because these false teachers who do these things, they will be exposed. Eventually, they will be exposed as fools. He even says, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Like, who are these men, Jannes and Jambres? Where do we see them? We're not in Scripture. If you do a word study in Scripture, you don't see those names. Where are they? Well, here it is I believe these men, in fact, are in Scripture. They're just not named. Because these men, there is Jewish tradition that said that these men, Jannes and Jambres, that these were two of Pharaoh's magicians who opposed Moses. Remember, the Lord had called Moses to he was in the wilderness, and God called him and told him to go to Egypt to free his people. And Moses, a little reluctantly, eventually ends up down there, and he is demonstrating God's power to Pharaoh. But Pharaoh isn't too impressed at this point, because he says, "Hey, I have my own wonder workers. I have my own magicians. They can do some pretty nifty tricks too." And so he had his magicians to try to counter Moses, what he thought were Moses' tricks. But you see, with Moses, it wasn't a trick, was it? It was the power of God. So Jannes and Jambres were, according to Jewish tradition then, were two of these magicians who opposed Moses. And how did that work out for them in opposing Moses? Not so well, right? Well, Timothy, in the same way, there are persons who are going to oppose you. There are persons who are going to oppose the church. There are persons who are going to oppose God's power, oppose God's truth, oppose God's gospel message here. But in the end, they're going to be exposed as fools. You know, because it can get discouraging, can it, sometimes, when the opposition is coming hot and heavy at us. In the end, though, Timothy, they're going to be exposed as fools. Remember that. Understand that, Timothy. Remember, he says, but understand this, Timothy. In the last days, there will come times of difficulty. And one of those times of difficulty is the onslaught of opposition to God and God's truth. But Timothy, they will be exposed as fools in the end. Take heart in that. All along in 2 Timothy here, I've been challenging you to look for lessons in spiritual maturity and leadership. Just about every verse, there's a great principle in there for spiritual maturity, for spiritual leadership there. And so, as I look through this then, here's just a few things that I think that I would take away from this. What do we learn about growing in spiritual maturity and becoming a spiritual leader? Well, I think we learn from this, the spiritually maturing persons understand there will be difficulties in the last days. That was what we have a realistic outlook on life and on the fact that it's not going to be easy to follow Jesus, is it? It's not always going to be easy. So we need to understand that. And sometimes that opposition isn't from outside the church. Sometimes it can even come from within the church. There will come times of difficulty. Spiritually maturing persons understand that, accept that. They also then, spiritually maturing persons, are lovers of God rather than self. They love God more than they love themselves. And of course, when we're loving God first, we love others more than we love ourselves then too, don't we? And if spiritually maturing persons avoid ungodly people, teachings and practices that would lead them astray. And as they stand firm in God's truth and in the life that God calls us to as faithful followers of Jesus. So you might ask, so what? So what? What do you want me to do with this? Well, I'll take us back to where we started again and say that followers of Jesus then must steer clear of the godlessness of the last days. Now, those things we read, those characteristics of godlessness, can any of you relate to any of that? And anyway, do you see any of that in you sometimes? Do you see it in anybody around you? And again, don't poke the person next to you, all right? But we must steer clear of that. Steer clear of the godlessness of the last days. So I'll ask then, do you have a last days mindset? Pastor, do you think we're living in the last days? Yeah. Bible says so. And in fact, we've been in the last days for 2,000 years. How much longer? I don't know. God knows. But yes, we are living in the last days. And yes, Jesus is coming. He's coming soon. So do you have that last days mindset? A last days mindset means living in the reality of that and being watchful and prepared and ready for His return. Listen, this is a tough one. Do you seek to love God more than yourself? Boy, that's a big part of what spiritual growth is all about right there, isn't it? Learning to love God more than you love yourself. Learning to love God more than you love anything in this world or anyone in this world or anything in this world. That doesn't mean we love God and we hate everything else and everyone. It means that what? That we love God more than anyone or anything else. And when we love God more than anyone or anything else, it gives us then a godly love for the things that we ought to love. We love the things and the people that God, in the way that God loves then. We seek to be godly rather than godless. Turn on the fire hose for just a minute here. Thinking of those qualities or characteristics of godlessness, being ungodly. As I run down this here, I want you to ask the Lord here right now, God, is there one thing? Don't try to absorb all of it all at once, okay? Is there one thing you want to say to me today? Can you say in your heart, in the quietness of your heart before God, God, what do you want to say to me today about loving you more than myself? Am I a lover of self? Well, godlessness is being a lover of self. Godliness it's a selfless love. Loving God first, loving others more than we love ourselves. Being lovers of money. Money isn't evil in and of itself. We're not to be lovers of money, but we are called to be what? Good stewards or responsible managers of the money that God has given us. Proud or arrogant? No, we're called to be humble servants. Abusive? We're called to be kind and respectful. Disobedient? We're called to be obedient to God, obedient and honoring. Ungrateful, we're called to be thankful. Unholy, we're called to pursue holiness. Heartless, we're called to be considerate. Unappeasable, we're called to be forgiving and peacemakers. Slanderous, we're called to speak well of one another. Without self-control, we're called to be I wouldn't say just self-controlled, but be spirit-controlled, perhaps more accurately. Not loving good. Well, we are called to love the good. Treacherous. Well, rather than creeping around seeking destruction of others, we are to be openly seeking the good of others. Reckless. We're called to be disciplined. Swollen with conceit. We're called to be humble. Lovers of pleasure. We're called to be lovers of God who enjoy His good gifts. The appearance of godliness but denying the power. Well, we're called to what? Real deal, genuine belief. As it's evidence then in perseverance in right doctrine and right living. That's probably enough right there, right? But one final thing. Do you avoid ungodly people, teachings, and practices? This doesn't mean you can't be friends with ungodly people, because none of us would ever have friends, probably, right? But no, it means what? But we need to understand that sometimes there's a time and place where we need to separate from things that are harmful and destructive to us. Avoid that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the truth that you have given us in your word. And we know, Lord, that we are living in the last days right now. And that Jesus is coming again, that he's coming soon. And I pray, Lord, that we would have that last days mindset, living in that awareness that he is coming soon, and that we would be watchful and waiting for him. Be found ready for him, Lord. Father, may we pursue godliness, loving you more than anyone or anything else. And as we love you more than anyone or anything else, Lord, teaching us then how to love others and to love your good gifts properly is the way that you would have us to do. And Father, teach us then to avoid those harmful things that are destructive to us, destructive to our walk with you, destructive of our relationships. May we walk in godliness, Lord. May we be holy as you are holy. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.